Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf mem hei. And yesterday we got up to Omele Abayel Rav Yosef, one line above the wider lines on the daf. So we were talking about yesterday that we have a knas for someone who sells his evet to Chutz La'aretz. The buyer is the one that has the knas, and the buyer is the one that has to free the eved. And we were talking yesterday about whether you get the money back or not. We said, don't get the money back because it's a valid sale. So, Omele Abayel Rav Yosef, today we just want to figure out, why did we do the knas against the buyer? I mean, we could have done the knas against the seller. So, es abayi, mai chazita de kansina de lokeach. Why actually find the buyer of the eved? The guy who sold the eved did the wrong thing. He was the one who took the eved out from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz. So Rav Yosef told Abaye, "Omele lavach bara gana, elochur gana." Look, it's not the mouse who's the ganav, you know. It's the mouse hole that's the ganav. Imagine if the mouse wouldn't have a place where he could steal your stuff and hide the cheese. Would he even come out to steal the cheese? He figures he's dead if you catch him, right? So, therefore, it's the market that creates the problem, not the people that are doing the selling. So if you get the people in Lakewood to stop buying avodim, then nobody would be selling them avodim. So therefore, we give the knas to the market. This is interesting. So the question is, do we go after the drugs at the source of the sellers, or do we go after the drugs at the buyers? This was like a major issue for many, many years, right? Well, it didn't work too well to go after the buyers. All right. Anyway, so that is why we cannot just give the knas to the, that's what he tied it, can't give the knas to the seller. So Rav Yosef says something that doesn't make 100% sense, because as Abaye told Rav Yosef, I mean, if there weren't any drugs, in this case avodim, then there wouldn't be any buyers. I mean, I don't understand, like, where you decide where to start. Ilav achbara choraminale. Ultimately, if there's no mouse to make the deliveries, then the mouse hole does not have much of a chance at getting that cheese. Now, does it? So therefore, you can look at it that the buyers are basically passive compared to the sellers, who are the ones that are very active, and they're the ones that transfer the eved to Chutz La'aretz. So why do we let him get away with it? Says the Gemara, because, look, I mean, the bottom line is, if you're going to go after someone with the knas, then that's mistabra echad ike isura hotam kansina. Over here, the sale took place, and now it's there in Lakewood, the Yevet. So now who should be the one that we're going to be kindness? We're going to be kindness where it came from. That's where the isur is right now, and that's where the problem is, and that's, therefore, that's what we relate to. Now, who have the diark mechutz laretz laretz? So there was once a slave who ran away, and he escaped to Eretz Yisrael, and Azamari Batri, the owner, chased after him to come to Eretz Yisrael and to drag him back. So he comes to Rav Ami, and Rav Ami tells him, look, I'll tell you what we'll do for you, but this is the maximum we're going to do for you. You're not going to be allowed to take this Eved back, but what we'll do is we'll have a shtar written for the amount that we value this Eved at. And over time, as he makes money, he'll pay you back. But you have to write a shtar shichru. So ketov legita techeruta, and all you're going to get is a promissory note from the Eved. Now, if you don't do that, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to simply take him away. And we are going to basically force you to allow him in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, obviously, you could sell him in Eretz Yisrael. But let me ask you something. How many people in Eretz Yisrael are going to give you a good price if they know that you have no choice and you got to go and leave him behind? I mean, you're going to get a very little bit on your Eved. So I'm giving you a good deal, a deal you can't refuse. Let the Eved write you a shtar for the entire value. And that way, at least ultimately, you'll get paid back. But those are your options. Because I'll tell you why we have a right to do this. We don't allow you to take that Eved back to Lakewood with you. Here's a fascinating, it's a famous issue that the Goyim, of course, misuse. You know the whole idea. You mustn't return a slave if he manages to escape, and we all must be liberals and see to it that the slaves are helped to escape. And so, no, that's how they understand it. So it starts like this. We take a look at the pasuk, which is in the middle of the sugya of the Shiva Amamim that you're mechuyev to get rid of. So what does it say over there? Lo yeshvu ba'artzecha, ben yachtilo t'chali. You are not allowed to leave these guys around, and you got to get rid of all of them. Ki ta'avodet Elohim, ki elecha l'mokesh. I don't want a mokesh for my children in Eretz Yisrael. So now, you might think, says the Braita, so maybe you think we're talking about even a goy who is not going to be Ovid Ovid Kochavim, and he was already Mekabel himself that he's a Ger Toshav, and he's keeping Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noyach. Talmud Lomar, Lo Tazkir Eved El Adonav Asher Yinatzel Alecha. You shall not, and what does this mean? You shall not return a servant to the master who has saved himself from his Adon. So what that means, apparently, the way the Gemara is stating it is, his master used to be his God. Now he's turned his back on his God, and he's come to you to live with you. Don't throw him back. In other words, you should be mekabel him as a ger toshav. My takanato, only thing you can do is im chayeshev bekirbecha. Let him live with you. So if, when we talk about an eved, we don't mean an eved. We mean an eved to Avodah Zarah. So if an eved Avodah Zarah, so this whole thing is basically metaphorical. This is the way that the Braita wants to read it. Not an eved, but an oved Avodah Zarah. And he escapes from Adonav. And who is Adonav? The great master in church that he goes to pray to. So he's finally managed to escape from the clutches of his cult. If somebody runs away from a cult and comes to you, allow him to live with you. Don't give him back to Avodah Zarah. So what this shows is that a Oved Avodah Zarah that comes to live in Eretz Yisrael as a Ger Toshav, you actually have a mitzvah to accept him as a Ger Toshav. And indeed, medayik from this, that there's a mitzvah to accept a Ger Toshav, not just a heter. Now, this metaphor didn't sit very well with Rabbi Yoshia. Kashele le Rabbi Yoshia. So then why would we say from his master? I mean, we shouldn't use his master. We should have said that probably the correct girsa is like those who change it to me'im Elohav mi'boyle. Because to say me'im Aviv, I mean, Aviv could mean a god the same way that we could understand the Adonav and me'im Aviv. What's the difference between them? So, okay, but basically what it means is, why doesn't it talk about a god? Why does it talk about a master? Which makes it sound like we're literally talking about an Eved. Therefore, says Rabbi Yoshia, it is talking about an Eved. It's talking about an Eved that was sold to Chutz Laaretz. And it's saying, do not send him back to Chutz Laaretz. That's what it's saying. So Beis Din is basically being told that in the event that somebody purchases an Eved in Lakewood from someone in Eretz Yisrael, Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael should not allow that sale to go through. So Rabbi Achi, who was Rabbi Yoshia's son, didn't like that pshat either. Why does it say, Asher yinatzel elecha, who will be saved, meaning he escaped? Asher yinatzel me'imach miboyle. What it should have said is, an Eved that is going to be taken, yinatzel means set aside, so he's going to be taken away from you to Chutz La'aretz. Don't let him go. Ela Amar Reb Achi b'Reb Yoshia. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about an Eved that escaped from Chutz La'aretz and came to Eretz Yisrael, which means he was Yinatzel Me'imi Adonav, that is to say, from his master in Chutz La'aretz, from his legal master in Chutz La'aretz. But once he was able to come to Eretz Yisrael, then you're not allowed to send him back to Chutz La'aretz. And that's why I'm telling you, we have a right. This is what Rabbi Ami told this guy, we're not going to let you take this Eved back, and we're willing to make sure that you get a promissory note for his value. But that's the maximum that you can take back with you. That's the basis of it. Tanya Idach, Lotas Gir Eved Adon. Now, another brisa says that a libid Rebbe, what this means is, do not return an Eved to the person who bought him when he was bought on condition to let him go. It's talking about Lokeach Eved Amanat L'Shacharoa Kastuv Medaber, which we'll see exactly what the case is. Obviously, a promise that I'm going to let him go is not enough to say you're not allowed to enslave him if you change your mind. So what is Rebbe referring to? Hechidani. Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak, it's talking about a case where the man writes in the actual shtar a get shichra. And what he says is, L'chishe ekachacha, so he's saying, look, if at any time I successfully purchase you, so I'm giving you this get shichur in advance that it should be chal the moment that I free you. Okay, so then if that's the case, if he now changes his mind and he wants to be mishabed to this eved, then the bezin does not allow him to take it. That's what it's referring to, says Rebbe. Now, Rav Chisda had an Eved who ran away from Bavel to this town where a bunch of Kusim apparently lived, Beikutai, and that was also in Chutz Laretz. It wasn't Nogea, this question, but it was Nogea the way Goyim, or people who read the language of the Pasuk wrongly, how they're going to misinterpret this Pasuk. So anyway, he sends this message to the people in Beikutai, Hadruan Yalim, give me back my Eved, he ran away to you. So they sent him, what do you mean? Don't you know that the holy book says, Lo tasgir eved adonav, never return a slave to his master. We are a very liberal and woke town. We will not send him back. So shalach lahu, so he sends back to them, but you don't know that the holy book says something else? V'chein ta'aseh l'chamoro, v'chein ta'aseh l'simlato, v'chein ta'aseh l'chol avedat achicha, you are supposed to give back everything that you find that belongs to someone else. How come you're not being mekayim that mitzvah? Shokule, so they asked him, but so how do you understand the pasuk? The pasuk says, "Lo tasgir eved al adonav." So explain to them, that's talking about an eved that ran away from chutz la'aretz to aretz, which is not what we're talking about over here. Ukid Reb Achi b'Reb Yoshia. Why? How come he sent him that approach to the pasuk? How come he didn't tell him Rebbe's approach? Oh, come on, man. The Kutim are going to accept Rebbe's approach? That's insane. What do you mean? There you go, you're Pharisees. You go and you take the pasuk and you rip it up and you throw it into all kinds of contorted versions. They'll never believe what Rebbe said. But the portion of meaning of the pasuk at least retains its basic structure the way that that he quoted him from Reb Achi b'Reb Yoshia. Mishum demashmi l'ukroi. Remember, we're talking about Kutim over here. So the closer you get to the literal reading of the pasuk, the more chance you have of getting back your Eved. Now, another might have happened that Abaye, he lost a chamor also in that area, and he writes them, my chamor wandered away. Could you send it back? So shokhul eshlach zimana. So they sent him, okay, could you send us a simon, and we'll give it back to you. But I don't have to send you something that you can't identify. Now, Lemaisa, he had identified it, and he knew exactly where it was, and he had pointed it out to them, as we'll see. So he sent them, well, I'll tell you what the simon is. The simon is, it has a white tummy, chivra krese. So they burst out laughing. They sent him, we ain't ever seen a chamor that doesn't have a white tummy around here. So let me tell you something. Ilav de Nachmeniat, if you wouldn't be the famous Abaye, and we know you wouldn't lie, lo avi mishadarna leinei Allah, because actually we're going to only return it to you based on tviyas ayin. Atu kule chamri lav kersayo chivarian, you know. Around here, all the donkeys, they don't have white tummies. And now, for this very special moment, where, again, you know, it's all coincidence, of course. The doc is directly, he escaped Richie just as he opened. Look at that. Whew. Go ahead, Rich. So that's what happens when Zoom lets you get a little bit away. Man, oh man, we got to give you some coffee in the morning. Ein po din et hashvuyin yater akedei demeim. Another wonderful takana. All of this parak remembers about tikkun olam. Do not ransom shvuyim for more than they are worth. Now, we have this kind of issue coming up, unfortunately, all the time. We know how many people were killed because of these ridiculous deals that the Israeli government did, where they gave more than they should have given for shvuyim. Although there is a machlokes lemaisa in terms of the poskim, whether this applies even in places where their life is in danger. The Miri actually says it does not apply. There's a lot of modern teshuvas on this issue. The Miri was only published fairly recently, so they didn't have the Miri in front of them. So there's a lot of different opinions about whether this takana, not to pay too much because of the way that it encourages terror. Perhaps we'll see what the Gemara's explanation is. But b'nei tikkun olam, we don't allow you to overpay. The famous story of the Marami Rotenberg, everybody knows, of course. Ein mavrichim et hashvuyim. And another thing you can't do, you cannot help jailbreaks. Mipnei tikkun olam, the same reason, which the Gemara is going to discuss. What would be that reason? Why can't we help people escape from illicit jails? Rav Shimon ben Gamliel omer, it's not mipnei tikkun olam. It's mipnei takanat hashvuyim. It's only for the benefit of any people that are currently being held in the jail and that may be punished for the escape of others. Says the Gemara, what exactly do we mean by tikkun olam? Where is the tikkun olam? How does it help the world if we don't overpay? Iboilo. Because we have two possibilities here. Mipnei tikkun olam, maybe in order to duchka tzibura, we don't want to overburden a community. People are responsible for pidyon shvuyim. They take pidyon shvuyim very seriously. They will give their last pennies to pidyon shvuyim. And it's inappropriate to be b'chayev et tzibur to overpay because in the end, the burden is going to come down on them. So is that the reason? Or is it because it encourages tourism? Terrorism. It's the same around here. So it encourages these kidnappings because the more money they get from the kidnappings, the more likely they are to engage in kidnapping. Tashma. The Levi Bar Darga, this very rich man who was called Levi Bar Darga, Parka Labarte, Betleser Alfe Dimre Zahab, he paid for his daughter who had been kidnapped 13,000 dinars zahav. Now, he did it all from his own money. He did not ask for any type of community funding for it. So apparently, he held that it was mutter to do this, and they allowed him to do this. So apparently, he held that if you're not coming to burden the overall community funds, then fine, if you can afford it and you want to pay that kind of money for your daughter, you can. If Lamaisa, it was in order to make sure that people would not engage in kidnapping, then this would be usur, because even though he's taking it from his own pocket, how could he endanger the community by persuading people that it's very, very profitable to capture and kidnap Jews? Rabbi, first of all, I mean, I understand this guy necessarily had to do what was right. He's a rich man. He probably went ahead and did it himself. What makes you think that it was Beretzon Chachamim Avat? That what they were maskim to it? Maybe he did it against the halacha. And it could be still that you're not allowed to, not because of the monetary issue, but because of the fact that you're actually encouraging terrorism. Right? Halacha lemaisa, it's not so pasha, because there's all machlokas rishonim, how we paskin, whether you would be allowed to put out your own money for a loved one who is captured. The next thing the Mishnah said, you don't allow helping people escape. Why is that? There's a machlokas in the Mishnah. Is it b'nei tikkun olam? Or according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, is it b'nei takanat shvuyim? What is the practical nafkamina? May binayu. Suppose there's only one Jew that is being held. Can you help him escape? So if the problem is with Tikkun HaOlam, So then the issue would be that anybody from this point forward that would be put into jail if Jews help people escape from jail may be kept under terrible conditions. Maybe they'll lock him in fetters. They'll put him in irons. I mean, who knows? Because they know that the chances are some of these darn Jews are going to come bring a ladder up to the window and get him out. So that would be Tikkun Olam. And then it would be usher, even if there's only one person. So Mashenkein, Alibet of Shimon Gamliel, that it's to be played Tikkun HaShvuyim. That means Tikkun HaShvuyim that are currently Shvuyim, not some point in the next 10,000 years. So over here, if there are no Shvuyim, then it would be Mutter to help him escape. Now, it once happened that Benate de Rav Nachman, people saw, and this was Rav Elish who noticed this, the daughters of Rav Nachman were apparently such incredible tzidkoniyos that they could actually stir the boiling hot pots with their bare hands. They would not need to use any type of kitchen utensils. And they didn't even notice, you know, stir the soup. So Rav Elish sees this, and he can't understand it. Who ever heard of a woman that was such a tzaddikus? Kashuel Rav Elish. Here is Shlomo HaMelech. He's running around trying to find one normal human being that he can say good morning to. So he finds one person out of a thousand. But I never found a woman in that thousand. Odam echad mi'elef matzati, isha b'chol ele lo matzati. I would never trust a woman 100%. So what do you mean, says Rav Elish? Ha'ika benate de Rav Nachman. You've got Rav Nachman's daughters that prove you wrong. Here are total tzidkoniyos, and no question. Apparently Shlomo made a mistake. So what happened is because of this, that he has this as a kasha against Shlomo HaMelech, the daughters of Rav Nachman were captured by these goyim. And he, Rav Elish, was captured at the same time. So now he was in a position to watch their behavior in captivity. So one day, he's sitting next to a guy, and this guy used to practice talking to birds. Okay, so all of a sudden, a bird comes along, and this was a crow, and crows know how to talk. So this crow comes along and says, he doesn't know. Saying something, but he doesn't know. So Rav Elish asks this guy, can you make out what this bird is saying? He says, yeah. He's saying, Elish, brach, get out of here, Elish, go. Now's a good time to run away. Says Rav Elish, I don't trust Orvim. They're tame birds. Would you trust the crow with your life? I'm not going to run away now, just because it says so. So Urva Shikro, Lo Smichale, I don't trust liars. Okay. So meanwhile, a pigeon comes along. Now a pigeon starts talking to Rav Elish. So the guy, Rav Elish asks the guy who knows how to talk to birds. So what's he saying? So the guy says, this bird's also saying, Elish, run away. Elish, run away. So Rav Elish says, well, that's something else. I mean, after all, Knesset Yisrael is considered to be similar to a Yonati Tamati. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls us his little dove. So if that's the case, I better run away. But you know what? Let me check out these daughters of Rav Nachman. If they are really good, like we thought they were, I'll get them out with me. So he decides, how's he going to find out? Amar, he says to himself, you know, as the Brits have long discovered, women always talk in the bathroom. They cannot, and therefore, let's make common bathrooms for women so they can have discussions. What are they going to do in the bathroom all by themselves? So Nashi called me like the Itlo. These women, whenever they want to discuss something, they always talk it over in the bathroom. So he goes over to the window under the bathroom to listen to what the daughters of Rav Nachman are talking about. Shamin and Dukam. So he hears them saying, you know, these guys are real he-men, let me tell you. You know, these goyim that captured us. I mean, they're a lot of fun. Adi Guvrim, Nardoi Guvrim, our old husbands back in Narda. Yeah, okay, they were husbands. But these are like real husbands, you know? So maybe we should tell these guys to move away from here because otherwise our old husbands are going to come back from Narada and they're going to pay for us and drag us back home where we might want to stay here. So therefore, Leimelu Leshubayu, Rechakinu Miyachar, get us away from here. The Lolaisa Inche said that our husbands don't come and they hear about where we are and they'll come and they'll pay money for us. So Rav Elish heard this. He decided, these women are not the kind of women I want to take back to their husbands. So he runs away without taking them. So Komarak, Ata Yuva Ugava, so he and the Mr. Birdman, they come together. So the Birdman figured, okay, if Elish can run, I can run too. Why is it only for him? So they come to a riverside, and Rav Elish manages to hop on the ferry at the last moment and gets away as they're coming in a real Indiana Jones escape. But meanwhile, the Birdman was left on the other side of the river, and he was caught and killed. Now, when Rav Nachman's daughters actually were finally redeemed by their husbands, so Elish, Rav Elish says, you know, I got to tell you people the truth. These witches are witches. they don't think that they're tzadkoniyot. Okay, we're back to Sir Richard. And this time, Doc's right on top, so we're going to get an incredible rendition. Go for it, Sir Richard. Another takana. Ein lokhin sfarim tefilin umezuzot min ovdei kochavim yoter al kedei demeyim. So we never buy a sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzas. You're not allowed to pay more than their value. Mipnei tikkun olam. For the same issue that we had before. Omar le Rav Budya le Rav Ashi. Is it that you cannot buy it from them for more than their value? Implies that you can buy it from them for their value, even though we have no idea that these are kosher tefillin. I mean, you can just imagine the tefillin factory in China shipping out these tefillin to all of these hoods and using them. Oh, I just stole these tefillin. What would you be willing to pay for them? You know, and then you'll pay tons of money to get these phony tefillin. How do you know these are kosher tefillin? And what if they set up a business and they're selling tefillin, so you're allowed to buy them? How are you allowed to buy them? You have no idea whether they're coming from a Chinese shop. It seems from here, Shema Amina, that Sefer Torah Shinim Tzibiyad Ovi Kochovim Korimbo. Apparently, you're allowed to use a Sefer Torah that might have been written in China, and you can read from it in the Beit HaKnesset. Well, maybe not. I mean, maybe it just means you can buy it from them, not to use, but you can buy it from them just in case it's a kosher Sefer Torah that you should be able to put it into Genizat for the covenant of the Sefer Torah. Where does it say necessarily that you'd be able to actually use it? And it's always here that I say over the story of dear Avi Shafran, in which this is quick thinking, let me tell you. So he was a Rebbe in the yeshiva in the end, Barnea? Reb Avi? He actually taught?
Yes. He was a bunch of
Oh, wonderful. So he was a Rebbe in the yeshiva, and this black guy comes over to him walking down the street in New York with a pair of tefillin. You know, he shows him these two tefillin. You know? So, hey man, how much are you willing to pay me for these, huh? So he looks at it. This is fast thinking. He says, wow, these are really nice, you know. Where's the other one? What do you mean? What other one, man? There's supposed to be three. You know, one for each hand and one for your head. Where's the other hand? Hey, man, there are only two there. Oh, shoot, he says. Well, I'll give you $5 for him. Amazing, huh? That's really fascinating. Okay, so anyway, you don't overpay. Omer Rav Nachman, Naktinan, Sefer Torah Shekatavo Min Yisarev, Ketavo Aved Kochavim Yiganez. So if a person who is a Min, the Min Rashi always understands to be someone who is completely dedicated to Avodah Zarah, so he's like a Goyish priest, Rashi says. So that we know that it was written L'shem Avodah Zarah, which means that all of the Shemes Hashem that are in it were all written as Avodah Zarah. Once they're written as Avodah Zarah, then they have a din. You should be Ma'abed then, the same way that you're Ma'abed all Avodah Zarah, and therefore it should be burned. If a Goy wrote it, well, then we can't be sure, because we don't paskin that Stam Machsheves Avodah Kechavim is Avodah Kechavim. Only Stam Machsheves Min. This is a Machlokas. Okay. So now the question is, he was talking about where we find it, right? We don't know that before that he wrote it. Here Reb Nachman was talking about where he wrote it. How about if we just found it? Nimtza b'yad min? So then we don't know. Then yiganes, because we can't be sure about whether he wrote it or not. So there you don't have a right to burn it. What about if it's nimtza b'yad oved kochavim? So there we have a machlokes. Some say there too, it should be Yiganes, because maybe he wrote it. And if he wrote it without the proper kavon, he wrote it for Avodah Zarah, so then it would be possible. But Amri lo korimbo, Mashenke, and others say no, you can actually use this, because a goy could write a Sefer Torah if he wrote it L'shem Shemayim. And since we have over here a Sveik Sveika, first of all, we don't even know if he wrote it. Maybe he found it or bought it. And secondly, even if he did write it, maybe he even wrote it for the shame of Kedusha. So, Memeo Mitzad HaSveik Sveika, you'd be allowed to use it. But if it was written, then, Reb Nachman said, then Yiganes. So it's interesting that there seems to be a big contradiction in the Brises about this. Here's Mamish, three completely different contradictory Brises. Sefer Torah Sheketavo Oved Kochavim. So what's the din about such a Sefer Torah? Tani Chada, one Brisa said, burn it up, even though it wasn't written by a min. Another Brisa says, Yiganes. And the other Brisa says, you can read it, take it into shul. What does this mean? So Lokasha. Oh, the Tanya Yisareif, as we mentioned earlier, this would be the Shita of the Man D'Omer, who is Reb Eliezer, D'Omer Stam Machsheva Sefer Kochavim L'Avedes Kochavim. That there's no difference between a min L'Avedes Kochavim and a stam oved kochavim, wherever they have an opportunity to be mechashev the shame of their avodah zarah, you have to assume that that's what they did. And therefore, it has the same halach as a sefer Torah shekos v'min. That's that first braisa. The second braisa that says yiganes, hadatani yiganes, is going according to this, tana detani rav amnuna b'rei l'rava b'pashrunia, sefer Torah tefillin u'mezuzah shekatvan, either a... Some have the gears of min, or mosur, which makes more sense, or another kechavim, or an eved, or an isha, or a katan, or a kuti, or even a yisrael mumer, are psulim. Shenemar ukshartem uchtaftam. Only somebody who is mekayim the mitzvah, is yeshno b'kshira, is mechuyev in the mitzvah of kshira, is able to do the kshira. What it is, that's the kshira. Masha enkein, these people, who because they're not included in the mitzvah, Kol she'eino b'kshira is eino b'chtiva. So since this person who is not, he's an apikeres, and the, over there he doesn't accept upon himself, as the Rambam puts it, kol she'muzara l'kshira u'ma'amin ba, he believes that it's a mitzvah. So therefore, if he writes it, it's not kosher. There's a very fascinating chasam sefer. He understands the question of how could you say that just because he's not mekayim the mitzvah, so therefore he's not included in the mitzvah, he's not mechuyev in the mitzvah. And he says an amazing thing. He says that Klal Yisrael is empowered to actually expunge people from Klal Yisrael. Because he has many other questions about how is it, let's say that we gave the din to Kusim, we gave them the din to Goyim Gemurim. I mean, how can we do this Lakula? If you're talking about what? So a woman is not going to be Tamei Nida? A mace is not going to be Tamei Mace? I mean, how does this make sense? If the person goes ahead and gives Kedushin, you're not Chayish for the Kedushin. How can this be? So he says, if you take a look in Ezra, we just had this, we were talking about the idea of being able to give a Knas. So it says, not only Yechoram Korechusho, but it says over there, V'hu yibadel mikahal ha'golah. He will be separated out from the tzibur. From here you see, Tainas Lechsam Sefer, that it is possible to exclude people from Yisrael. And that if the Tzibor makes up its mind that they no longer want these people to be part of Klal Yisrael, they cease to be part of Klal Yisrael. In which case, the min, in this case, the apikores, we don't mean min like we meant before. That's why the girsa is a little bit mixed up over here. But the mosur, let's say, so somebody who gives over things from the Jews to the goyim, over there he's supposed to kill him, actually, then he ceases to have a halacha of a ben Yisrael. So that would be the second bright. But v'hodetanya korimbo, and the brisa, the third brisa, says, you can amish use it. That's going according to this tanya, the tanya. Lokhin sefarim en ovde kolchove b'chol makom, u'bevat shiur ketuvim kilchatam. If everything is done properly, you're allowed to buy a Sefer Torah from a goy who is selling. U'maaseh b'ovde kolchove b'chol b'tzidon, shehaya kotev sefarim. There was even a story of this goy that was writing the Sefer Torah. V'yitir Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel likach mimenu. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel said that you are allowed to buy it. So obviously he doesn't hold kol sheyesh lo b'kshira, yesh lo b'chtiva. Ma she'en came when it comes to the din of writing with the kavona that the shema is ravid azora, that's something else. Over there it has a din of abeto vidu, destroy it. Okay, but apparently Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, he holds that you certainly do not need a kavana of lishma to be able, I mean, the guy just writes it. So apparently you don't need that it should be written in order that it should have a kedusha sefer Torah. So does this make sense? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel holds you don't need the ktiva lishma, but on the other hand, you do need that you should do the ibud lishma. Because I'm going to show you, how you need to do ibud. You have to take the skins, the parchment, or the or of the tefillin. All of this requires ibud lishma. And the writing itself doesn't need to be lishma. This makes sense. Here I'll show you where Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel paskins that it has to be written lishma. The Tanya. Somebody covers his tefillin with gold to make them look beautiful. O shetala aleihem or behimatmiya. Where you cover them over with non-kosher or psulot. But if you made them out of or behimatora, afal pi she'en lo ibdam lishman de ksherot. And Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is the one who says, no, they're not. Afilu or behimatora psulot, you need to do the ibud, the very working of the or has to be done. You tanned it, it has to be tanned lishma. If he holds it, you need to tan it lishma. Is it possible that he wouldn't hold that you need to write it lishma? I mean, that's mamish the kedusha of it. Omar Rabba Bar Shmuel, when Reb Shimon said that psak, that you could buy it from a goy, wasn't talking about literally a goy. He was talking about a guy who had been mitgayer. And then he went back to being a goy. So he was a Jew for many years. He learned how to write Sefer Torah. And then he decided he's going back to his old ways. So therefore, he knew that there needs to be done. And he is, in fact, technically speaking, he's a Jew. So in Achinami, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel would never have said that you could have used something that was written by an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Well, what are you talking about? He went back to his old ways? What do you mean? He goes to church now? So then he's a min. Well, how do you, then for sure, I mean, if he went back from being a Jew to worshiping in church, that means that he is like, he's made a total commitment. That's not like a social kind of thing, you know. So then he would have a din of a min and he would be posel. Omer of Ashi, you know what happened was, is that the church scared him, told him if he doesn't come, start coming back to church and he keeps this business of acting like a Jew, then they're going to kill him. So he was chozer l'sura mishum yirah. So we have no reason to think that he literally made a choice to be Ovid Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, he was treated like a goy, and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, okay, but you can still buy from him, which is a completely different situation, obviously. Tana Rabbanan, when you say you're not allowed to pay more, you could pay a little bit more. Ma'alin b'demeim ad kedei trafik. Because, I mean, look, the idea over here is that you're not going to be encouraging. That's the point. We don't want to encourage people to be stealing these things, right? So, okay, they don't know the difference if you pay another 5 cents or this. That's not the point. We can't say we answer you to buy it back because it's 5 cents more than it should have been. So that, a little bit you could. What is a tropic? A tropic is an istira. It's almost chatzizuz, very little. Now, there was this Arab woman, and Abaya tried this Avi Shafran trick, you know. So there was this Arab woman who brings tefillin that she had stolen. She brings it to Abaya. What are you willing to pay? So he says, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll buy you each one of them. I'll give you for each pair, I will give you a date. What do you think? You'll get a lot of dates, huh? So she got furious. All this work that she did gathering up all of these stolen tefillin she had, she takes them and she throws them into the river. Shakla and Shaditinu binahara. Oh, he says, Abaya, well, I guess it didn't work this time. I should have maybe offered a little bit more than a couple of dates. Okay, Rabbosai, I think we shall wait for the next sugya, which are in the way of Reb Barnea's message. We have a daily message from Reb Barnea, and today's message...
We don't have to go to China. There are Arab families whose parnasa is to all work together to produce Sifrei Torah. That's locally.
That's what they tell me.
Secondly, Didi Havi Upta had Arab friends for many years in the store, and they came and they told me, we have a guy who has one of the Sifrei Torah taken from the Jewish quarter in 1948. Wow. And they gave me a section of a leather, a gvil, Sifrei Torah, I forgot what part it was, I read it or something. And I called Ezra Dafani, and he was on speakerphone, so my Arab friend heard them also. And he said, they wanted $50,000. So he said, we don't do this, we don't pay more, et cetera, we don't. So we didn't buy it, we're Bavater, but it's my Sashari. I had the opportunity for Bidyan, and we didn't because Ezra Dafani said, don't do it.
Okay, that's a beautiful story. Painful story. It's good to know. Allah
Khalamais. Ezra told us that there are women in Kalchila that write the Fili.
Yeah. Very.
There's a market for the women of the wall. Should possibly.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, all right. Make sure you go to a good safer. That's for sure. It's one of the biggest problem areas where you're going to get your safer territorial and
business. Cornea didn't want to say it, but it's amazing how they'll go so far.
Well, we got a lot of Chinese. I think Naftali knows some Chinese factories that are making Sefer Torahs. Huh? It would be a great new import. No?
I forgot. My Zayda bought mezuzahs in New York for a house in Pittsburgh, 11 mezuzahs. I came home from Yeshiva Ben Ismanim, and Lubavitch had a sign up 80% of the mezuzahs in America are puzzled. So they said they're exaggerating, it's 50%. They took it to Rabbi Pfeffer, a little shelter cipher. He said, this is printed on cloth.
Wow.
Right. So they were all puzzled. My family had no money then. This is an incredible mindset. My family had no money then because my father was not well then. So my mother said, you lend the money, it's a household expense, I'll pay you back. I go to my little bank book, which I've had since I'm 4, and there's a deposit in February. Now, I wasn't home in February. I was in yeshiva.
You see, Barnea, I did pay you back for the canteen.
And so I bought 11 mezuzahs for $11 each or whatever, and we had kosher mezuzahs. These were bought for $4 in New York. And
so wow.
Nice shy for years, we had, who knew? But that was the fake.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, Rabosai, I'm missing you already for Shabbos Kadesh, and wishing you a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos full of Sras Tevas.